Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, Director of the World Ocean Observatory. For many of us, the ocean is perceived as a vast common, with little or no governance or authority in place to establish jurisdictions and boundaries, to define and enforce regulations, or to mitigate and resolve disputes. This is not exactly so. In fact, over the years, a complex network of overlaid agreements has evolved to address these issues, a process that will be ongoing, especially as challenges to the deep ocean become more apparent and critical. Let's review the history. The United Nations Convention of the Law of the Sea, called UNCLOS, the premier governing instrument for the global oceans, provides for the rights and responsibilities of nations in their use of the global oceans. UNCLOS came into force in 1994, a year after the 60th signature of the convention by Guyana on 16 November 1993. The treaty is the result of the third United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, which took place from 1973 through 1982. Prior to UNCLOS, the doctrine of Mare Liberum, or freedom of the seas, prevailed. This concept, posited by Dutch philosopher Hugo Grotius in the 17th century, formed the principle that the sea was international territory and all nations were free to use it for seafaring trade. Nations only used a 3 nautical mile limit for their territorial sea, representing the cannon range distance required to effectively protect the coast. However, in the 20th century, nations became aware of the need to protect their coastlines and their adjacent marine-related natural resources, including mineral resources and fish stocks. Thus, in 1930, at the Hague Conference on the Codification of International Law, the international community first resolved that claims to territorial waters by countries were acceptable. Soon, however, nations began drawing arbitrary lines in the sea, and many of the claims were vastly different. A most famous example occurred in 1945, when U.S. President Harry Truman issued the Continental Shelf Doctrine, or as it became known, the Truman Proclamation, which held that the United States had a right to establish fisheries conservation zones in those areas of the high seas contiguous to its coasts, quote, wherein fishing activities have been, or in the future may be developed and maintained on substantial scale, unquote. Other nations, including Panama, Costa Rica, and the Philippines, followed suit, while Chile, Ecuador, and Peru signed the Santiago Declaration in 1952, establishing sole jurisdiction and ownership over 200 nautical miles, including the seabed and subsoil. It became apparent that agreed-upon guidelines among nations was needed, which led to UNCLOS I. Concluded in 1958, UNCLOS I produced 4 conventions, including Convention on the Territorial Sea and Contiguous Zone, Convention on the Continental Shelf, Convention on the High Seas, and Convention on Fishing and Conservation of Living Resources on the High Seas. UNCLOS II was held in 1960 to decide the width of the territorial sea, but no consensus could be reached. Disputes over the width of the territorial sea continued, as did other deep divisions among nations, including the resources of the deep seabed. In 1967, Ambassador Arvid Pardo of Malta gave a speech at the United Nations where he proclaimed that the resources of the deep seabed in areas beyond national jurisdiction should be the common heritage of all mankind. This led to the creation of an ad hoc committee on the seabed from 1968 to 1970, followed by 2 UN General Assembly resolutions in 1970, one, a declaration of principles governing the seabed and the ocean floor and the subsoil thereof, beyond the limits of national jurisdiction, and 2, to convene a conference on the law of the sea in 1973 to deal with all other aspects of the law of the sea. Finally, UNCLOS III was convened, and with the participation of more than 160 nations, a treaty resulted that established the rights and responsibilities of nations regarding the ocean and created a constitution for the seas. While this history may seem complicated, it is, in fact, just the beginning. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced by Amelia Poole in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.